Hello, welcome to the Wednesday, November 4th, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Manuel today wrote a little diary with a couple of pretty neat, more advanced features in Nmap. Over the last few years, Nmap really has become more of a vulnerability scanner than just a port scanner. And with that, you have features like, for example, DNS enumeration, where you can sort of brute force host names. This is something that's often kind of overlooked, that while people are careful not to enable zone transfers and the like on their name servers, an attacker can always just brute force host names. So this is certainly an attack that you should attempt as part of an authorized pen test or vulnerability scan. And Mozilla today released Firefox 42. Now, in this release, a number of critical vulnerabilities were fixed. One of them is an arbitrary code execution vulnerability in Firefox's SSL library, NSS. Now, Firefox does not use OpenSSL, but just like OpenSSL, these alternative libraries often have problems parsing the ASN.1 encoding that SSL is based on. In addition to fixing vulnerabilities, this version of Firefox also introduces a new enhanced private browsing mode. Pretty much all browsers have some form of private browsing, and Firefox had it for a while now, but this new private browsing mode also does eliminate some of the social media toolbars and the like that some websites include in their code, and as a result, you may be trackable. Now, this latest version of Firefox will remove those specific trackers. And vbulletin.com, the website of the group behind the very popular vbulletin forum software, was compromised using a bug, a remote code execution vulnerability in vbulletin. This is important not just because the large number of credentials that were potentially compromised on that site, but also because many other forums do use this particular software, and a couple of them have already been breached due to the same vulnerability. Full details about this particular vulnerability have become available, and a patch has only been released yesterday. So this is one of those things where you probably don't want to waste any time taking countermeasures, either by applying the patch, that's probably the best thing you can do, or by at least looking into web application firewall rules or additional monitoring to protect your bulletin board. Researchers from Google, the University of Michigan, and the University of Illinois published a paper about the prevalence of start TLS and some of the artifacts they observed when investigating servers. Start TLS is an option for SMTP, where essentially you can sort of inline switch from an unencrypted to an encrypted connection. It's neat insofar as you don't need a second TLS connection to a different port like you do with other protocols, for example, HTTPS, but instead you just maintain your connection to port 25 and just dynamically switch to SSL if both servers indicate that they support this particular extension. Now, the main part of the paper is sort of in line with numbers I've seen before, where most mail servers don't support it. It's only a small fraction that supports it properly. However, among that small fraction are some big players like Google, Yahoo, and the like, which means in the end, about 80% or so of emails being sent are taking advantage of start TLS. So it's certainly something that you should take advantage of if you can. But one sort of interesting new tidbit to this paper is they investigated where actually start TLS is actively inhibited by network devices. So for example, they found a number of mail servers that should support start TLS, but instead of the typical start TLS command, they're for example sending all X's, which kind of indicates that some device in the middle was essentially removing this start TLS command. And this is sort of one of the problems, of course, with start TLS, because the initial negotiation of the protocol to actually establish it is done over an unencrypted channel. Now, they did identify a couple of network security devices like by Cisco and the like that do exhibit this behavior, essentially to allow, for example, intrusion detection devices and other devices that inspect email to do so. And they can only do that if they prevent the SSL connection from being established. So I think this is really a little new and interesting thing, in particular since they put some numbers to how many of the mail servers that they observed do exhibit this kind of behavior. Well, and that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Sorry if the audio quality was a little bit weird today. Had to do a lot of post-processing because there's a pretty strong thunderstorm and rain here in the background, but I hope it's still coming across okay. Thanks, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.